This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello, and welcome to The Real Sex Education After School. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined, as ever, by accredited sex and relationship penguin, The Penguin. Hello.
Hello, Diggs.
For those of you watching on YouTube, you'll see that Mum, accredited sex and relationship therapist Kate Campbell, has actually just put The Penguin that we often have on this podcast to adjudicate is in her place today and is just on screen. How is The Penguin doing today?
Sulking.
Sulking? Why?
Oh, because that wasn't a very, very kind introduction, was it?
Why not?
Hey, never you mind. We're fine.
We're fine. You and the penguin are fine. Well, that's good because today, Mum and the penguin have something called in the business a hard out.
What's that?
It means you got to go at some point.
Oh, yeah. Got to
go. Yeah, exactly.
To do.
You got stuff to do.
You're a busy woman. Proper work to do. Yeah.
Well, excuse me. What do you mean proper work? Well, actually, this is a bit of fun, isn't it? We do love it. And today's going to be really fun. We've got loads of questions from our lovely listeners. You guys, you've got in contact with us on the anonymous Google form in the bio of this episode and our social media channels. We're at the RSC Pod on Instagram, TikTok and X.
Formerly known as Twitter.
Wonderful. That was great that time. We're really on it today. And so we can get going with these. And they're all centered around anal sex. So it's going to be a fun one. What does the penguin know about anal?
Everything.
Really?
Expert.
Well, I've actually got a few questions for the anal. For the anal penguin. I've got a few. Maybe that will be the penguin's name, the anal penguin. I've got a few questions. These questions have made me have questions from our listeners. And maybe I can ask the anal penguin what the anal penguin knows about anal. Should we have our first question?
Go on then.
Wonderful. Okay. This comes from a gay man who's 25 years old from Germany. Here we go. As a gay man, 25, I was always top and I want to try to be bottom. It is very interesting to me. I have real fear about anal sex. I am afraid that it will cause any serious health problems or deformations or health problems that will affect... Sorry, I have to say, I read these verbatim and they are fantastic. I'm afraid that it will cause...
Excuse me, I'd like to see you translate this into German.
Oh, I completely agree. I'd do a very bad job. It wouldn't be very good. Any serious health problems or deformations or health problems that will affect me badly in the future. For example, anal fissure and its enlargement are among the most dangerous and biggest problems as far as I read on the internet. I think this question is valid for all individuals and women who want to try anal sex, not only for homosexual individuals. Because of this fear, I can't really live my sex life comfortably and try to bottom. Sorry for my English. Best wishes from Germany. Germany flag emoji and kissing emoji. So then,
I don't have the emojis.
Oh, yeah, I haven't. Because I sent you that. You printed out the script, have you?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Very diligent of you. But come on then. So do you have anything for our lovely German friend?
Just checking with the penguin.
Yeah.
Says not really, no.
Really?
It's really funny. I get this pretty much this email about once or twice a month.
And when you say, do you mean an email like this or pretty much this specific email with the cadence and the...
Very similar.
Right. Okay.
Very, very, very similar. Either this is the same person or it's really common. to be worried. I mean, I'm inclined to say if you're that worried, don't do it.
Yeah. Maybe. But how significant and real are the risks that they've said here? Anal fissure, enlargement. I mean, I imagine they mean the enlargement of the anus itself that might lead to incontinence and stuff.
I think it's worth being concerned. But there are things, I mean, you know, proper preparation is the important thing. So you don't go straight to anal intercourse without, you know, play. So, you know, trying it with fingers, sex toys, tongues, using a dental dam and that kind of thing first are important. You can use, I mean, people often wear a butt plug for a few hours beforehand to stretch the area and make it more comfortable. And you just wouldn't go straight into it. So if you try it and it feels really uncomfortable and painful, if you try it with hands, fingers, you know, then then I would say don't do it. But I mean, a lot of people really enjoy prostate play. And so, you know, you can have as much fun stimulating the prostate with fingers and do that. You should, I mean, the focusing on intercourse is probably unnecessary. And certainly to begin with, I'd experiment and see what it's like.
Yeah,
because some people with hemorrhoids and things like that, that they do find it too painful. And I definitely wouldn't go there.
Yeah, because like poking hemorrhoids will just make it even worse.
Well, they'll bleed and it'll be really sore. So yeah. I would say, you know, experiment, try it out and then see what happens. You don't have to go rushing in. And I think really, really don't worry about being inexperienced in this area. Everybody has to start somewhere.
Absolutely, yeah. And like you said, they've done some looking around online. I think there are good resources online. There's a good website called bvibe.com that talks about that sort of stuff. So I definitely recommend that. But I mean, we've maybe sort of mentioned it, but like, you know, lubrication is your best friend here. Sorry, Mum just blew her nose and then blew the nose of the anal penguin. Lots of lubrication and build up to it. This is definitely something that, you know, maybe genuinely even start with a pinky finger. Tongues would be even more perfect because that's just a soft thing and all that sort of stuff. But again, with tongues and stuff, you've got to make sure, of course, has to be consensual. But a dental dam, I'm glad you mentioned that again. What is a dental dam, just in case people don't know?
It's like a sort of little square that you put over the anus to protect it. Or to protect you, it's a hygiene aid.
Yeah, so it's like almost a little condom, like a little square condom that you put
over. Yeah, except you don't slip it over your tongue, you just...
No, you just hold it there and in place. Your partner as well, you should be constantly checking in on each other. When you do eventually have anal intercourse, you need to be constantly checking in on each other.
You don't have to.
Exactly, if. And also maybe choosing like positions where potentially... where you're on top of something where you can ease it in. Also, we talked about this on the pegging episode. Apparently, if you open your gullet, like you're...
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Like you're trying to drink. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, if you're trying to, like when you're drinking, if you're trying to open your gullet, apparently that also opens, like, there's sort of two openings to your anal sphincter, or maybe two sort of sphincters.
There's the outer one, and there's the inner one.
And the inner one, if you open your gullet, it sort of opens the inner one. I mean, give it a go listening to this. And anyway, haven't tried it myself, but have heard it works. So in a line for this person, you're aware of the health risks. So if you want to do it, take it slowly.
And gently. And with someone you trust, ideally. Don't go and pick up a stranger. Do it with someone you trust. And I can see the temptation to hook up. Because, you know, if you're embarrassed about it or it's awkward, that would be a temptation. But I would say... try and find someone you trust and let us know how you get on.
Yeah, exactly. Please do. Wonderful. Okay, we have another question here. As a cisgender gay man, I douche prior to engaging in anal sex. Can you just tell me what douching is?
Well, it means to clean out with water.
Yes. Okay, wonderful. I douche prior to engaging in anal sex to minimise the possibility of unexpected accidents. To avoid unnecessary preparations, my partner and I schedule our penetrative sex sessions. However, this planning sometimes diminishes the excitement. How can we introduce more spontaneity in the bedroom? Man, 31, gay, maybe a 5 on the Kinsey scale, from the US, but living in Germany.
Love the way he gives us the Kinsey.
I know. Okay. I was going to say, let's part the Kinsey scale. We've got to talk about this now. So tell me, what is the Kinsey scale?
So the Kinsey scale, developed in 1948, is a kind of spectrum of sexuality. So from one, you'd be 100% straight, and at six, 100% gay. So five is going towards gay.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I've looked this up, actually.
Oh, have
and
you?
If he's a five, according to the Kinsey Institute or the Kinsey scale, he's predominantly homosexual, only incidentally heterosexual.
Yeah. I don't know. That's funny, isn't it? What it means.
It does feel interesting, but they talk about it being a continuum rather than a binary.
But it's funny way it's from one to six.
Yeah, exactly. It is interesting. And so I'm guessing then three, if you're three, then you're, you know, straight bisexual, straight bisexual, but you're 50-50, you know. They also have since apparently added X.
Absolutely.
For individuals with no sociosexual contacts or reactions.
Mm.
So I guess asexual, aromantic people, stuff like that, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, so I just love that they've given the Kinsey scale. Accurate representation.
But even that, I mean, nowadays we tend to think in terms of that being a bit binary, even though it's a continuum and all of that.
I know, yeah.
And
you know,
we don't tend to think a lot that you would place yourself anywhere. And although Kinsey said, well, you know, it changes from day to day. So, you know, he was ahead of the game.
Mm-mm.
All that, you know, having numbers and things is all a bit old fashioned. But it was 1948. So this was absolutely cutting edge stuff in 1948. And Kinsey made loads of films of people talking about their sexuality, which are absolutely fascinating to watch. They're just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before, and I hesitate to go down such a tangent, as you have your hard out. But we did an episode on bisexuality and do we need labels? And there is that thing where you're right. I think partly these days it's sort of like, listen, I am who I am. You know, I do what I do. Is there really any need to, you know, if you come and get to know me, you'll work out what's going on.
Mm.
Whereas also on the other end of that spectrum, it is like, but these labels are helpful. And maybe for this guy, he likes being able to say he's five on the Kinsey scale, because it's like, listen, obviously predominantly I'm hooking up with other guys, but listen, there are certain situations where a girl will enter the mix and I'll get with them, but it's incidental. And I think
that's not necessarily a girl though. I mean, you know, the people that you're with, how do they identify?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
it's more complicated.
Absolutely.
Or simpler than it used to be, depending on which way you look at it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we've had people on this podcast saying, like, you know, I call myself bisexual, but obviously that was because that's the word we had for it then. Whereas if I was to say what I am now, I'd probably, with all the new words, I'd probably say I'm
pansexual.
I'd probably say I was pansexual because it takes the idea of any sort of gender out of it, and it adds in trans people and non-binary folk and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, very interesting. But back to the
question, wasn't there?
So they douche prior to...
They want to know about more spontaneity. What I think about spontaneity.
Well, let's park that quickly. I just want to just lay the groundwork for people a bit more. So if people aren't aware, a lot of people who have anal sex do prepare a lot more beforehand to minimise, like they say, the quote-unquote accidents. So they will douche, they will clean the anal area, but also people, you know, not eat as much, all that sort of stuff, make sure they've maybe gone to the toilet beforehand, all these sorts of things. There is preparation involved, which means that, like you say, the idea of spontaneity is gone. Mum, what do you think about spontaneity?
Well, you know what I think about spontaneity.
But tell the people that haven't heard. Yeah, remind
they've
the anal
all
penguin.
Heard about it. I think very rarely is sex spontaneous. To be completely honest, because we do tend to plan for it. And what actually ruins sex for a lot of people is living together. Because when you can do it whenever you want to, there isn't the planning. There isn't
You never make
the time for it. And you're not in the mood. Whereas when you're going on a date, you have a shower, you get in the mood, you're expecting sex on your date. And so there is nothing spontaneous about that at all. But people think it is.
Exactly.
And when spontaneity strikes and you approach your partner, it's quite likely that your partner will go, oh, go away, I've got coffee breath or something like that, because they haven't prepared. So sometimes the only way, if you're living with somebody and you're busy, to ensure you have sex is to schedule it.
And
to prepare for it. And I would introduce the word of caution about douching as well, because that's not always as safe as it sounds.
Yeah, and it depends on what sort of apparatus you're using. Mm. Sometimes it can be not good. It can actually dry out the anal area, and that's not good as well. So, yeah, maybe take a look into that. Or again, I'll refer you back to our previous episode, Why Do We Have Anal Sex? We talk about that a lot in there as well. I think you're right. And I think it is that thing of how do we create spontaneity. I think the only way to truly do that is to place towels down. And I know that's going to sound...
All the time.
I know that's going to sound crazy, but I think you're absolutely right. You know, realistically, in the moments where you want to be quote-unquote spontaneous, you know, maybe that'll be when you go on dates and stuff. It's not going to really be spontaneous anyway. If you guys live together or you're walking around the house or whatever, and then maybe the moment strikes, I think with this... This is the game we're playing. You have to play to the game. And unfortunately, in this game, things might get dirty. And I think if you both want to be spontaneous, you might just have to like put that to one side and be like, okay, well, that's the risk we're going to take today. I don't see if there's another way of doing it.
The other thing that I would challenge here is spontaneity only being about anal sex. I mean, what about all the other sex you have?
That's so true.
You know, there are so many other things that you can do that are lots and lots of fun. And anal play may be part of that, but it doesn't have to be all one thing or the other.
Yeah, exactly. And what happened to good old-fashioned fellatio? I understand that's lovely. Okay, some good things, definitely things to think about there.
I heard a great joke about that yesterday.
What, fellatio?
Yeah.
Can you repeat the joke?
Off air, yeah.
What? You can't tempt us like that. Can the penguin say it? Or can you text it to me and I will say it and then I'll get cancelled?
The penguin told you the joke. It involves Donald Trump, so he might cancel me again.
I was going to say, he's blocked you on Twitter, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Which is amazing.
Years ago.
When he was on Twitter, he blocked you.
First time round, yeah.
That was fun. Yeah. Anyway, listen, you tell me off air and I'll tell people when we come back from the break whether it was worth listening to or not.
Okay.
People often ask me what my regular London pub is. But that assumes there's a pub I can easily return to, so please stop asking that.
London Pub Reviews, written by Paul Ewan and featuring Tim Key. A Hattrick podcast.
Did you save my seat? Why? I'm at a completely different pub now, with different seats. Catch up.
Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Drinking with dignity. Yes, sir. Yes, madam. That's me all over.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
And so St. Peter says, okay, great, in you go, Monica,
yes.
You're out.
That is brilliant.
Yeah.
That's so good. Oh, wow. Welcome back to The Real Sex Education After School. I'm afraid that is absolutely a joke we cannot say on air. But it's a bloody good one.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, maybe people can try and find it somewhere, or maybe... Maybe this is the time we do the competition now and we get and that's the competition. You win a mug and you win that. Make sure you're following us on Instagram and we'll post something about doing a competition because we've got to do it soon. And maybe we'll give you not only a mug, But we'll write out the joke for you as well. It might just absolutely might just find itself in the package, and you can enjoy that. Actually, a bit more housekeeping for the podcast. For the next few episodes or so, we're just doing the questions. We're going back down to one a week. Mum's going on holiday. I'm very busy at work. There's lots of fun things going on. But please keep the questions coming in. We're going to keep doing those once a week, and we're having lots of fun doing it. Okay, Mum, we've got a question here from one of our listeners to the email account. Ooh. This one says, "Hi, I am female. My partner, male, likes anal without condom, but there is a chance of pregnancy due to semen slipping into the vagina. Is it actually possible? Also, the condom breaks easily in anal. What should I do?"
Well, there always is a small chance of contaminating the vagina with sperm. So it is slightly possible that a pregnancy could follow. Mm. That's not the reason for wearing a condom, though. The reason for wearing a condom is there's a bit of a risk of infection if anything does pass from the anus into the vagina vulval area.
Don't go from
one to the other. I mean, I would say not only change a condom, but also wash.
Exactly.
Definitely. But the thing is, you can get condoms for anal. You shouldn't be using a regular gossamer condom for this job.
What's a gossamer?
Oh, it's a very thin condom. So it's supposed to feel like you haven't got one on.
Ah, right. Yeah. You cannot be using one of those.
No, you've got to get a super duper one.
Yeah. So you can get extra thick condoms for that. So that should hopefully sort out the condom issue with it breaking.
Yeah.
Don't try double bagging. That doesn't work. Get the extra thick ones. And is it possible? I mean, in a word, yes, it is. It is possible. It's unlikely.
Yeah, it's very unlikely,
but it is possible.
Yeah.
Lily Allen once asked this on a, I can't remember what show it was, but she said, "Can you get pregnant up the bum bum?" That was her exact phrasing. And I remember we were sat around watching this. It was never Buzzcocks or something. Yeah.
It wasn't us.
Mum, you were definitely there.
I wasn't.
Or maybe we asked you, or maybe something happened, but you went, "That's the first time I heard this." You were like, "Well, technically, yeah." And that was Lily Allen on a quiz show, so that must have been, you know, years ago. Anyway, amazing. Mm. So I could have answered that question, to be honest. I felt ready
well,
to roll.
You can answer
that
the
one.
Next one.
I'll answer the next one, and we can have the penguin adjudicate.
All right, so I'll read it then.
Okay, yes, please.
Right. "When having anal sex, I find it really difficult to masturbate. One, keep an erection. Two, masturbate because it's expected. And come. Again, because it's expected. When I'm happy, not. However, when masturbating alone, this is not an issue. Am I too much in my own head, or is this a thing? Male 30, gay, bottom, Scotland."
Wow. Okay. The penguin, for those of you that don't know, often adjudicates on some of my answers on some of these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that I've understood the question correct here. Please, can you tell me if you think the same thing? This person says, when having anal sex, now they're the bottom, and they believe it's expected of them to masturbate perhaps either whilst this is going on or afterwards. It seems to me that they mean whilst
it's going on, yeah.
Whilst it's going on.
Yeah.
I have consulted, now this is a small sample size, but I've consulted gay friends of mine who have said, for them at least, they wouldn't consider that a wide expectation amongst the gay community that one must or should or is expected to be masturbating whilst they bottom. So I would say, firstly, that pressure might not be fully there.
Mm.
And also, even if it is, if you don't want to, or it's not in your head, and you're happy not orgasming in that way, you know, then you don't have to.
Well, I mean, this person mentioned keeping an erection, which presumably they also feel is important.
That's the hard bit I might need your help with, because that's the one where it's like the more you worry about that sort of thing, the more you're going to be in your head about
it. Well, that's
it,
what he said, isn't it? I mean, when I'm happy, not. I think that they do come, they do masturbate, and they do get an erection when they feel comfortable. But it's when this person feels under expectation to behave in a particular way that things don't go so well.
Yeah.
So am I too much in my own head? Potentially. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like I say, I mean, at least for the people that I talk to, this expectation isn't there. Now, that might be wrong. If so, please do get in contact with us. Tell me how I'm wrong. But, you know, that might be something you've created, and some of these other things you might have created as well. And again, it'll be response pressure, won't it? It'll be your partner will go, oh, you didn't come then. I'm sorry. And you'll go, oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it. You know, and hopefully they'll trust you and believe you, and you can trust in yourself and be happy not doing that sort of thing.
But if you're not relaxed, I mean, it's very difficult to enjoy sex at the best of times, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think this is much more about relaxing and just doing what you feel like doing and enjoying. And why are you under pressure from other people? Why, you know, it works both ways. Then you may have expectations as well. Perhaps you should discuss them before you get going.
Yeah, that's a good one. And also, we've talked about this on the podcast before, but taking control of your own pleasure.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like you're quite in your head at the moment, and we need to take yourself out of your head, get yourself back into your body, thinking about the sensations, thinking about what turns you on, and you taking control of your own pleasure in those moments. And so if you want to orgasm, and if you want to come, if you can in that moment, then you make it happen. If not, then it's fine.
But fantasize as well. I mean, I think what he's saying is he does want to come to please the other person, but it's more difficult. And I think that's when you're thinking about it. And if you just go with what works for you, so for some people, they need to fantasize and to sort of take themselves out of the situation because the situation feels too stressful. And so fantasy really works for them. And for some people, role play works better.
Yeah, yeah. And we've talked about that on the podcast as well. So it's something for people to try out. I mean, give those a go and let us know how you get on.
And good luck.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. Thank you to the Anal Penguin. Make sure you're subscribed to us, following us wherever you listen to this now. Keep those questions coming in. Also, of course, you can go back if you're not quite satisfied with all of our chat on anal sex. We've got a whole other anal sex episode called Why Do We Have Anal Sex, which we released ages ago, but you can check that one out for a deeper dive into anal. And of course, also our one on pegging with Zachary Zane, which we talk about all the time. I do love that episode, so go back and check that one out as well if you want more on that. And also, we've got loads of amazing questions coming up, so keep those coming in and make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss an episode. Mum and listeners, I'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.